17 minutes after 7 o'clock, and it seems the state government has finally had enough of the rampant drug culture which exists at the many dance festivals that take place in Sydney. There have been 3 drug-related deaths at Sydney music festivals in just over a year, and we almost lost another young life on Friday. A 23-year-old woman was rushed to St Vincent's Hospital after suffering a suspected MDMA overdose at the Field Day event in the Domain on New Year's Day. Police charged almost 200 people with drug offences, including 8 for drug supply. And the New South Wales government yesterday flagged a crackdown on these festivals. Deputy Premier Troy Grant said that festival organisers have a duty of care to their patients and to their patrons. We won't make them
both
patients just yet. He's on the line. Good morning, Deputy Premier.
Good morning, Angela and Bill.
What exactly can you do?
Oh, look, we don't have all the answers as yet, but we need to have a serious conversation with festival organisers and our experts being the police, our medical fraternity, and the jurisdictions that grant the permits for these festivals to occur to try and stem the flow of drugs into these venues. The police presence is significant, as obviously pointed out by the amount of seizures and arrests that are made. But people are going well ahead of time, planting drugs and being very organised to make sure that they're making sure the supply inside the festival venue is plentiful, which is contributing significantly to the rise in deaths and injuries as a result of drug taking.
Is it almost inevitable now that whenever of these music festivals are held, there will be a drug overdose?
Oh, that's what we fear, and that's why Premier Mike Baird has said enough is enough, and we're not going to idly sit by and just let this roll off out of control. We have to do something. We don't have all the answers yet, but we're going to work very hard to do so. We understand that we're not going to eliminate the drug culture or the drug scene. We understand that, but we have to really enhance the conversation that occurs between parents and young people when they're going out, or mates, you know, people looking after each other. This is a conversation that's been had for a long, long time, but I think the difference now to yesteryear is that the crudeness of the drugs that are being taken in the forms and in the style of drugs that they are now are just deplorable, and they are affecting people so more severely than they ever did before. It's because they've got rat poison, they've got battery acid in them, they've got cleaning fluid. They're so crude that it's no wonder that people are dying or becoming very, very ill as a result.
But that makes this cultural tide all the more extraordinary, and this is what you're up against. You're up against a tsunami here, because these young kids, despite all you've just said, are still taking this stuff, and they're still going to such great lengths to do it. So while obviously taking measures at the festivals is important, there must be a whole lot of other things we need to do out there in the community.
Oh, there is, and Mike's Baird's been very clear to his ministers that we will be having a serious conversation about what role we can all play in addressing it. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a one sort of panacea to fix this issue. It's a big one, Bill, but it's the one that we have to have. And look, being an ex-cop, from one perspective, there is nothing worse than knocking on a parent's door to tell them that their child is dead, and unnecessarily dead as a result of a drug overdose or taking. And as a father of teenage kids, it scares the hell out of me personally. It's a conversation I'll be having with my two. My daughter's 16. She'll be cranking up, ready to go to these festivals very, very soon. It's a conversation I'll be having with her. It just simply is not worth it. How we get that message through to the younger generation is a tough one, but we have to come up with ways to do it and do everything we can, maybe advance security, even longer security around the precincts where these festivals are held is the measures that we need to adopt.
Well, I was just going to say, have you had a meeting with these music festival people who, to be fair, some of them seem to have already gone to great lengths, and obviously it's bad for business. It is bad for business to have people carted out to hospitals and to mortuaries. If you're running a music festival, I'm sure these people, if they've got half a brain, would be interested as much as you are in trying to cut this thing down. The difficulty is, I suppose, is coming up with some measures beyond what they're doing already.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And no, the conversations haven't been had yet, but they certainly will be in earnest. And we understand it's not going to be easy, but they have a duty of care, which I've said over the last couple of days to their customers, and they have a responsibility to them, as we do, the government more broadly, to society. It's one they have to meet. If they need to do more, we'll be asking them to do more. But it's the size and the scale of the drugs that are coming in, It's not like there's, you know, a handful of drugs. You know, hundreds and hundreds of tablets are being seized and or wedged and lodged and secreted inside these venues. There's intelligence that people associated with the organisations are contributing to the supply of drugs into these venues. These are the measures that we really need to discuss with festival organisers, and they have an onus and a responsibility. We'll be holding them to account to do their bit in tackling this very difficult challenge.
Deputy Premier, there seems to be much more of this sort of drug culture attached to these dance music festivals than any other. We don't have similar figures and similar reports of deaths and arrests at rock music festivals. Is there a cultural link between dance music and drugs that needs to be said out loud and addressed?
Very likely so. Look, I'm not an expert in that area. There'll be people far more skilled to be able to answer that question for you, Angela, than I. For me, you know, my sense of a good time is going to an Eagles concert, and I don't feel the need to pop an Eki tablet to have a good time there. But I'm not sure what it is that drives these kids to take the drugs to complement the entertainment that's on offer. I think the entertainment should be enough for them to have a hell of a good time without risking death in the process.
What would make you shut down these festivals? Under what circumstances would they be shut down?
Well, if the organisers have failed in their duty of care or are contributing in any way to drugs being allowed or available with inside their premises, would be the first benchmark I would suggest. And we'll work with police on the intelligence in relation to that. But there's, you know, we have to take each case on its merits and the evidence that's before us. You can't blanket all these things, but we have to have the conversation, and enough is enough. As the Premier has said repeatedly, that we have to have this conversation. Everyone's got to step up to the mark to do better. And that includes, most importantly, individual responsibility, where this ultimately always lies.
Yeah. Why are these kids making the decision to take drugs? That's exactly right.
And that's the hardest thing as a parent. Troy, you mentioned you have teenagers. Angela's has an 8-year-old. I'm a little bit ahead of both of you. I've got 20-year-olds. But the hardest thing is to convince anyone, especially young people, that this obsession with needing to be intoxicated to have a good time, to need this help to have a personality, it is very frustrating, and it's a big, big deal we've all got to come to terms with.
Yeah, look, I'm struggling to get my head around it, Bill. I really am. I've said repeatedly I can't fathom how anyone knowingly would put rat poison or battery acid into their system, why they would ingest that. And the message, I think, other than don't do drugs, which is largely being ignored, is having the conversation, parents to children, mates to mates, of what actually is inside these drugs. The only way you can tell a drug's going to be safe is getting it from a chemist or prescribed from a doctor. Any other type of drug has significant risk attached to it. The more crude it is, the more undercover and covert that it's supplied to you, the higher the risk that it's going to be bad for you and most likely lethal. And that's a simple message, I think, is about what's actually in these drugs. They're not Nurofen off the shelf. These things are lethal. It's Russian roulette. You're playing with your life. And that's the message I think we need to get through to the kids, is what they're actually taking isn't what they think it is.
What are your thoughts then on drug testing facilities as they go in, finding out what it is they're going to take?
Look, the government will never do anything to condone taking of illegal drugs, full stop. The only time we'll be testing drugs is when we're preparing a brief of evidence for those that we've caught, or when we're doing a toxicology report for the coroner, when there's a dead person on a morgue table. That's the only time we'll be doing testing.
All right. Well, Deputy Premier Troy Grant, we look forward to hearing just what measures you do plan to take following the discussions that are going to take place. But a crackdown on its way. Thanks again for your time this morning.
No, you're welcome, guys. Thank you.
So what do you think on 13, 13, 32? Is it up to the music festival organisers? Some would argue it's not their fault what the individuals who come to their music festivals choose to do. If they're silly enough to take drugs, that's their problem. Or do you think the festival organisers should do more? What more can they do?
It's the single biggest problem with drugs broadly in our society is the constant willingness of people to take them. That is the single biggest problem. It's supply and demand. And unfortunately, we've not yet been able to educate our young people and plenty of old ones as well. Let's not forget all the cocaine-snorting wealthy people around the place that you never hear about because they're too smart and too wealthy and too well-connected to get caught. It's all over society. And how do you stop people doing it? I don't know.